in grunge.
I can go Nirvana.
Alright, I'll just keep an eye on the levels here, but I think that should be...
So what do you want to start at the top and work our way down, or is there something specifically you want to, on here, talk about? Or?
I think this is as good a start as anything, really. Right. So I'm sitting outside of Mary King's Close, the real Mary King's Close, which is, of course, the extremely famous landmark, and I'm sitting with Craig Miller and Caroline McIntosh, who are... both on the permanent staff and who are both involved in Close Fest, which is running from October 31st, Halloween, to 9th of November. Craig, is there anything special about 9th of November?
No. It was just when we were booking and we wanted to start on Halloween. And when we scheduled all the acts, the 9th of November was when we finished.
And this is the first time anything like this has been run from the venue before?
Yeah, that's correct. What we wanted to do, if we can go back a little bit, I took over as the general manager in June of 2012, and my background is very much kind of more commercial, I was in cinemas, and I've kind of got the thought process of thinking outside the box. In a cinema, you show films, you feed them popcorn, they leave hopefully quite happy, and they come back. And what we've got with Mary King's Close is we've got an established 5-star tourist attraction in Edinburgh. And what I wanted to look at is, out with the tour times, what could we do with the venue? Because it is very, very unique. And I think that what we want to do is open up people's eyes who have maybe visited and done the tour to show the diversity of the attraction as a building. And that's Close Fest kind of came about from that. It's our 10th year anniversary this year, so no better time to launch it than in our 10th year to show that we've established ourselves as the must-see tourist attraction in Edinburgh. 5-star, what else can we do?
And I mean, there must be huge amounts of problems in terms of the venue itself, because it is underground. It is I don't want to say pokey because that doesn't sound right, but I mean, it's not exactly it's not like a lecture theatre on George Square that's easily rigged out with lights and sound.
Yeah, but that's what makes it fun. I don't want to work in a lecture theatre that you can just plug and play. That's boring. I want to give a bit of diversity, because our challenge was not the location, because we work around the location. Our challenge was getting acts and events in that fit in with Mary King's Close, but are also unique in themselves, because that's what we are. We're a unique venue and we want unique acts. Bog standard is not what we do, and bog standard is a room with 4 walls that you can plug something in and away you go.
So maybe you could talk us through what people are going to be seeing from the 31st.
The Dark Truth Tour will start there. The Dark Truth Tour is actually, it was a Fringe first this year. It was something that we developed in-house. It's the darker truth about Edinburgh. You meet, it's an interactive dark comedy tour. You'll meet people like Burke and Hare, some of their victims, Dr. Knox, bailiffs, plague doctors, witch prickers, all sorts. It is a really dark, fun comedy event. It was a near sellout. We were technically 1% off being a Fringe first sellout. It got 5-star reviews with Broadway Baby. We got a 3-page article in the Evening News. The List magazine picked up on it. It was very, very well received. So we brought it back for another one-night-only run. Other highlights, we're bringing in a local band, Shooting Stansfield. I have a close affiliation with the band because I know the lead guitarist and the one of the main songwriters. Fantastic. They're a kind of folk rock group influenced by Frightened Rabbit, Biffy Clyro. They're a good bunch of local boys that I think have the potential to make it big in the, not just the Scottish music scene, but the British music scene. Mm-hmm. And they jumped at the chance of coming here to do that. You know, we're bringing in a stage. We don't need fancy lights or anything. We've got acoustics that are fantastic in some of the rooms. And I've been here when they've been doing the rehearsal nights. And I think it's going to be magical because from what I've heard, it's breathtaking. Murder Mystery Evening. What we do on our tour is focus in on the 16th, 17th, 18th century. However, the close itself was used by the council during the World Wars as air raid shelters. So what we're doing is we're paying a bit of kind of, we're going back to the 1940s and we're going to do a murder mystery night, utilising the rooms in a very different way. That's an in-house production. We're scripting it ourselves, we're casting it ourselves with our own staff. It's going to be a fun night, not only for the guests, but also for the staff, because they love doing stuff that's, again, slightly different from doing the tour. We're really proud of the fact that we've got the quality of staff that can actually help bring these things to life. And if it works, then we'll bring it back on a regular basis. Again, it's something different. It's not just, have you been to Mary King's Close to do the tour? Did you go to one of their special nights when they did their Dark Truth tour or the Murder Mystery? Twonky's Blue Cabaret, or Twonky's Blue Cadabra, as it's advertised. It's actually a gentleman called Paul Vickers, who's one of our tour guides, but he's also renowned throughout the UK.
He's actually standing right behind us.
He's sneaking up. He's like, he's on stealth mode. He just appears.
It's a genuine bit of colour there.
He was actually nominated, he was a runner-up for Best Cabaret Act at the 2013 Edinburgh Fringe, and we would be daft not to have him in because he has a real big following in Edinburgh. It is comedy in the vein of Vic and Bob at their best when they were doing, before they did Shooting Stars, when they were doing
The Smell of Reeves and Mortimer, yeah, that kind of stuff.
The Big Night Out, that kind of thing. It's really surreal comedy. Very much like his standard tour. So we're bringing that back. So we're trying to get diversity in there. You know, we've got music, we've got Burke, the play, which was a 2012 Fringe sellout. And again, we knew the director of that. We spoke to him, we showed him the venue, and before we'd even finished the conversation, he was signed up. And again, just, you know, the Burke and Hare story, three-man show, Burke and Hare in their cells talking to the prison warden. It got fantastic reviews when it was part of the Fringe, and it fits very well with the venue that we've got here as well, that's a bit dark and a bit mysterious, and the stories are going to tell are unpleasant, and the location that we've picked for it, the room that we've picked for it, is just going to add to the atmosphere. So we just think that, again, it's going to add depth to the actual show just because of the location, and I think that's important in these kind of shows.
The philosophy behind Edinburgh 49 is very much to, if not bridge, then at least ferry audiences from the year round into the Fringe. And I think it's really interesting that, you know, one of the premier tourist sites has picked up on this same problem, that local people, you know, my in-laws are a good example, season tickets to all the big theatres, but can never imagine themselves going to the Fringe. Is this something that you see as a wider issue that you guys are tackling here?
I think when we started the kind of the Dark Truth Fringe project, it was something we talked about last year. And when we started writing it and actually looking at how we're going to develop it and actually contacting the Fringe, it opened our eyes to just how many different venues there are now. My wife works for a hotel chain in Edinburgh, and they're hiring out their event space for shows to go into. And I don't think Edinburgh's hit saturation point yet in potential venues, but we want something different. You know, we want to offer something different, and not just for the Fringe, but all year round. And, you know, with our Fringe run, we've actually been approached by four different touring companies who want to hire the venue from us for next year to put their shows in, which I think is probably the biggest compliment you can get, that somebody has seen that we're doing it in-house and want to do it for themselves in our venue. And we actually had a touring group come in and film a kind of advert for their show in Mary King's, and their show was on at the Pleasance Courtyard. But instead of doing it at the Pleasance Courtyard that they had paid for to do their show in, they wanted to do it here. And you know, that's a pretty big compliment, that somebody wants to move away from their venue and come to a totally different venue to do their trailer reel. So it's been interesting. Being involved with the Fringe has been a real eye opener. My kind of Fringe involvement prior to this was the film festival, and very much the kind of that aspect of it. So I kind of knew some of the stuff that was going to be involved, but not quite all of it. So.
And normally we'd finish these interviews by saying, if there's something else on the season that you'd want your audiences to go and see after they've seen your show. So I guess what we'd have to do to adapt it would be to say, is there another venue in Edinburgh, maybe one that's not open to the public yet, that you would like to see open and having shows put in it?
Yes, but I'll not tell you where, because we are trying to be the people who open those venues. You know, as I say, Mary King's close. We're trying to look at the bigger picture, and we're always looking for other avenues to expand the existing tour, but maybe take it a different direction as well.
So watch this space, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
Work in progress.
Craig, thank you very much for talking to Edinburgh 49. Cheers, man.